Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, you... No, Wretched, when you see it, you smell it. Would you please send it to idea@wretched.org? This is Wretched Radio. We need wretched things. You know what wretched is. It's a sermon. It's a story. It's an article. It is, well, it's Ezekiel 4:9 original tortillas. That would be wretched. Right? This actually got sent in to idea@wretched.org. Ezekiel 4:9 bread has been out for a bit. I know because I used it when we recorded Herman Who. That's how far back. So a number of years, it's a very popular, supposedly healthy bread. When the title of it would lead you to believe it's actually based on a Bible verse. It's not. What is Ezekiel 4:9 bread? It is a bread of judgment. It's not a health food. It's not going to help you get your vitamins and minerals and give you fiber and be without gluten. That's not what it's about. It is a bread of judgment. Those ingredients were like, ugh. Why? Because Israel was being very, very bad. And God told them, you're going to eat this bread. Now, it doesn't give cup and measurements. It just says, these are the ingredients. In other words, it's not the best bread ever. Furthermore, it was to be cooked. Sorry, it was to be cooked over a flame that was generated from dried human feces. Ezekiel petitions God, oh, please don't make them eat that. God relents. Cow dung was used. That's Ezekiel 4:9 bread. Somebody's turned it into an industry. And now, courtesy of somebody who sent this to idea@wretched.org, they've got original tortillas. So maybe that's if you use like a Spanish translation of Ezekiel 9, you come up with original tortillas. Would have never seen this without you. Jimmy, have you tried cauliflower crust?
Yes.
And your review?
I like it.
But you have to cook it.
Well, you do have to cook it. We've mainly used it with homemade pizza.
Yeah, that's what I, okay.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, so Tom and Ray are just like giddy over this stuff because it doesn't have gluten or anything.
Right.
So I'm at the grocery store. I see it. It was probably near the Ezekiel 4:9 tortillas. And I thought, okay, I'm going to give it a go. Brought it home and it's like, you have to bake it? This is too much. I thought it'd be like a little pita thing that you could stuff, but apparently it's good for your guts because of all the stuff that we tend to put into our bread here in America. You got any other diet tips? Send them to idea@wretched.org, especially if they're wrongly based on a Bible verse. And if you'd like to question, comment, conundrum, or snark, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, last week you talked about how sin cannot separate us from God. Can you explain?
Yeah. If you're in Christ, if you're outside of Christ, that is, sin is precisely what separates us, I would add, from the goodness of God. I don't think it's enough to say that going to hell separates you from God, because God is present everywhere. You are separated from the goodness of God. What are they getting in hell? They're getting the wrath of God. They are getting his peculiar work, as Isaiah described it, a provoked work. They get nothing good there. They're separated from all things good, which is all things God. That separation from God That's what sin does to you outside of Christ. But once you're in, even your stupid sins, even your weaknesses cannot separate you from the love of God. Paul could not have been more emphatic about this. He gave just a redundant laundry list. Well, it wasn't redundant. It was just like, okay, we get the point. What can separate you from the love of God? Neither height nor depth. Well, that should have been enough, but he made height, depth, width. No, that was the breadth of love of Christ. Nothing can separate you, not angels, not principalities. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing is a very, very complex Greek word that means nothing. So list it. What do you think can get you out of the kingdom? Your weakness? That falls under the category of nothing. Is it your sin? That would again be a falling underneath the descriptor. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Is it your lack of faithfulness? Nothing. Now, if you're hearing this and you're going, hey, quit giving people a pass. I'm not trying to give people a pass when it comes to sin, but I am trying to give an encouragement that God's grace is that expansive. It is that deep. It is that high. It is that wide. It is that lofty. It is that inexhaustible in Christ. And that is the very knowledge that we need in order to not desire to sin. Nothing means nothing. But please don't send nothing to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Ian. Todd, I have a question regarding the Play the Man resource. I'm a 19-year-old college student at a Baptist university who has struggled with this sin, but I've seen victory over the last several months. Can I use this resource for fellow students and other people? And if so, how?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I lack in the evangelism department, but I want to grow in my abilities.
Oh, here's what I would encourage you. There's a number of things you could do with this. If you're not familiar, visit FortisInstitute.org/playtheman. It's a book that I wrote. It's about 20,000 words. And at the end of each chapter, it has three questions that I think help process and meditate on the content a little bit more than not having any sort of questions at the end. So go there, young man, order the cards. They're free. How busy is your campus? Do a little reconnaissance. What's the foot traffic like? What time is it busiest? And then grab these cards. We even pay for shipping and hand them out. Hey, dude, here you go. Hey, I don't know if you need help with this or not, but here you go. This is really good. Hey, this might be helpful. And just pass them out. Now, if you want to get a group of your buds together, this is the type of stuff I would plead with you to do if you are a young college student, especially if you're getting ready to run off to uni. You're all excited about everything. Got it. And sports are going to start. And who the roommate is. And, oh, I got to bring this and I can't bring that. All of that fun stuff and meeting people and even the smells of the campus on fall. That's actually one thing I miss from school. There was something about fall and going to the campus that was just kind of special. So you're feeling all of that, but don't overlook the preparation for guarding your soul. Please become a member of a good local church at university. If you don't, I'm telling you, I'm not going to play one of those Las Vegas betting games, but I'd be tempted if it came to betting on whether you're going to stand or fall. If you're not a member of a local church, you're going to tumble. It's almost a certainty. I hate to even leave that crack, but I can't definitively say nobody has ever stood by not becoming a member of a local church at university. But dude, if you're not, it's just too tempting. Just too much. And there's too much ability to sin. There's so much darkness available. You can slink in the shadows and in the corners. And mom and dad and your church at home never know, but your local church will. Second, start doing things like this young man is asking about. Find Christian friends. They might not know. They probably won't be the coolest people on campus. They might even be kind of dorky, but they're better friends than anybody else there. Why? Because you need something deeper in common, something richer, something eternal in common, as opposed to athletics. You're on the chess team. You're in the science class. Nice. Those are connectors, but nothing comes close to Christian fellowship. You need to be with Christian friends. Make them your best friends. Find them. And then do stuff like this. Get the book. Give it to everybody and say, all right, we're going to go through. I think there's 20 chapters. They're not long chapters, obviously. And apparently they average about 1,000 words or less. Although the first chapter is a little longer. I grant you that. Read it and then ask those questions and talk to each other about what you can do so that a young man can keep his way pure. That is the stuff that you need to be doing. And I will say this, if you're a young person and you're listening to this because you're locked in your parents' car and you have to, and you're not wanting to do these things, at the very least, you're immature. I know that's kind of a mean sounding word, but you're immature. Take heed lest you fall. Don't be immature. Don't be unwise. Be wise. Be wise. Do these things. At the very least, if you don't want to do these things, you're being foolish. Worst case scenario, you're not saved. Not kidding. This is Wretched Radio.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered booklet that it's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched.
Question: what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered 5 powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move His truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Know your church fathers. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Then prove me wrong. This is Wretched Radio. Have you just heard my final diatribe in that last segment. And you went, hey, dude, not cool. Saying that if I don't want to get plugged into a local church and make Christians my best friends at the university, that I'm being unwise or I'm being downright foolish. Well, I'm not backing down from that. Or you're saying, dude, you said that I might not be saved. Yep, you might not be saved because a Christian does not overlook his soul. What does it profit a man or woman if they go to university and they get on every athletic team, they receive accolades from their peers, they get DEI money, but they lose their soul? It's not a game. Don't go to university without preparation. David, I would point you toward, you want a book on this? Here's another thing that would indicate you're serious and you're mature and you're saved. Get David Wheaton's book, University of Destruction. You have no idea how prepared they are for you to not just assist you, but to encourage you and enable you and find all the tools that you need to deconstruct your faith. I'm telling you, a secular university and most Christian universities. Of course, I'm not talking about the Masters University in California. No siree, Bob. Masters.edu. I'm talking about most. They're out to get you. They are out to dismantle your faith. They aren't playing. Don't be lax. Don't be immature. Be wise. And then prove me wrong. Prove to me or to your parents or to yourself that you are a Christian by becoming a member of a local church on a university campus. Rather than just going and bristling at it, do it. Just do it. Step into it, man. Step into it, woman. Be earnest about your soul. I know you're probably not thinking about this overtly, but there's something that you're experiencing where you're kind of giddy about going to university because your parents, it's cool. You're transitioning. That's fine. You're away from your parents. But if you aren't also simultaneously thinking about the dangers that accompany that freedom, I'm scared for you. So are your parents. Prove us all wrong. Become a member of a local church and be different than your peers. Just be different. No, I can't go out late Saturday night. I got to be up for church Sunday morning. What? You're going to be a light in a dark place. And then get up and go. And I'm telling you, even if you're maybe not enthused about it, and even when your flesh says it sure would have been more fun to go out Saturday night, you will actually feel something more profound when you're obedient and wise and mature and striving for godliness. You will feel something. I wish I could articulate this better, but feelings are always kind of vague. But when it comes to discretion, there is something about being discreet, appropriately discreet, not hiding the truth because you don't want to get in trouble, but just practicing discretion. Or similarly, at least a cousin, first cousin, that you are keeping a confidence. When you do those two things, it's been my experience, you feel good. I know that's vague sounding. It's like, I can't tell you exactly what the sense is, but it's like, because I didn't do what would have been natural and easy to just let it fly, let it go. Or, hey, they told me that I shouldn't tell anybody, but I just wanted you to know that, blap, out you go. That never brings a feeling of, man, that was good. That was good. That gossip session, that rocked, man. I feel really good about myself. But if you practice discretion and keep a confidence, you will. I can't describe it to you any other way, but you will. Ditto going to church. Ditto making Christians your best friends. And as you do that and you walk in godliness step by step, you are going to be a man or woman of dignity. You're going to be a man or a woman who's given more responsibilities, who's actually esteemed greater. And you're going to have this internal joy, I guess is the word, joy, delight, encouragement. Hey, the Lord's controlling me. The Lord is controlling me. He's running my life. Cool. Okay, that's the best feeling I could come up with. Cool. Jimmy, do you have any idea what I'm trying to articulate here?
Kinda.
I wish I could do it better. Really, seriously, have you ever gossiped about somebody and left and gone, you know what? Now I feel right. Now I got, it's good today. No, you don't. You probably just don't feel anything. Maybe you feel a little guilt, but if you're a perpetual gossiper, you don't. It doesn't bring joy, but discretion does. Keeping a confidence does. Yeah, you could share something. Maybe it would bring you a little bit of positive affirmation because you're in the know. Try not doing it. Just try it and see how that feels. It feels gooder. Idea at wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I first heard John MacArthur on February 10th, 2007 in Wisconsin. He preached on the prodigal son. I was 16 at the time, had only been a Christian for just over 5 months. Prior, I had been a God-hating, feministic, socialistic, idol worshiper. I'm thankful to have been exposed to godly preachers early in my walk as it helped lay a strong foundation for the Word of God.
Yep. Yeah. Take that email, times about a million. That's the legacy of John MacArthur. There's so much that can be said. And I honestly believe that John would just shudder. Because, you know, there are some people that just, they dig things like, you know, birthdays and sell. And then there's other people that are like, oh, please don't, please don't. I think John MacArthur was let's not talk about me. So I think at some point he might say, enough, everybody. Enough. Thanks, but enough of that. Nevertheless, if we're eulogizing rightly, talked about this in a video, if we're eulogizing rightly, it's not easy, but you need to, of course, consider the accomplishments or the positive contributions of the one about whom you're speaking well, but never without knowing who's pulling those strings. If you will, John, like me, like you, we're puppets. We're puppets. And somebody's pulling our strings. Now, it's either the world, the flesh, and the devil, or it's Jesus. But your strings are being pulled. And Jesus is the one who is pulling all the strings for godliness, sanctification, all of the accomplishments that would be considered good things, all Jesus. So we look at the individual and go, wow, Jesus, that you empowered a man to do those things. You know, without getting too over the top regarding John, if you just consider the staggering list of accomplishments that will go underneath that man's name, a guy can't do that. Oh, granted, he had so many great people helping him. He really did. He just... That must have been an aspect of his character I just never got exposed to, the wisdom of identifying individuals who are good and godly and smart and helpful and who are on the same team of just getting the word of King Jesus out there. He must have been very good at that. So yeah, he had all of those people, but there's no way a guy could accomplish everything he did. Ultimately, we should look at the ministry of John MacArthur and go, wow, what Jesus can do. Wow. He's amazing. And that isn't always easy to do when you're in the process of mourning. But I think it's what we should be striving to do. Recognize the good John MacArthur did, but only in as far as we give ultimate credit to Jesus. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, are the NAR or Word of Faith followers by definition pagan?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm so glad that you picked that word. Hold on a second. Let me just grab my MacArthur study. Well, look at that. I just put my glasses on to discover I've got two more pairs of glasses on here. That's why I can't find them any place. Okay. Go First thing, Galatians, Ephesians. That's the New Testament. Paul is going to give a list of ways that you're not supposed to walk. In chapter 4, he's talking about, hey, this is how you walk. This is how you walk. And then he continues with that in chapter 5. Walk in love. Be imitators of God. Now, here's verse 3. Fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness. What? These are sins of the heart. or covetous, let them not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So put off, put on. For this you know, no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, or who is an idolater, has any kingdom, pardon the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. With who? With the pagans. Greed is idolatry. Greed is not godly. Greed is pagan. Word of faith. Those that promote God wants you to be rich. Let me tell you, if God wanted you to be rich, you wouldn't know what to do with all of your money. God wants you richer in rich ways, not just mere cash. And to be greedy and to promote greed, yeah, that's idolatry. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break production, the Fortis Institute. Florida just enacted a common sense law allowing pregnant women to park in handicapped spots, finally acknowledging that carrying new life brings legitimate physical challenges. Compare that to the grim statistics emerging from Ireland and the UK, where abortion rates continue their deadly climb. Ireland saw 10,852 abortions in 2024, nearly 8% more than the previous year, and a staggering 60% increase since legalization began in 2019. England and Wales experienced a 13% hike in 2021 and 2022 alone. Speaking of research that actually helps people, the American Bible Society's latest study confirms what believers have long known, and that's that scripture reading outperforms every trendy self-care fad. Their survey of over 2,600 Americans found that weekly Bible readers showed lower stress, anxiety, and loneliness scores compared to non-readers, plus significantly higher hope levels. Meanwhile, the poetry world was just exposed pretty thoroughly. Aaron Berry, a white poet frustrated by industry discrimination, spent 3 years masquerading as various marginalized identities, including a gender-fluid member of the Nigerian diaspora. He deliberately wrote awful poems that he got published over 47 times across literary magazines. When he revealed the hoax on his Substack, the industry exploded in predictable rage. Pastor Luke Ash lost his job at the East Baton Rouge Parish Library after declining to use a co-worker's preferred pronouns. Ash, a library technician for less than 6 months, knew his stance violated the library's inclusivity policy but refused to compromise his conscience. Yep, the same institutions hosting Drag Queen Story Hours now demand Christian employees violate their beliefs or find new jobs. Okay, I get it, but the one thing that sticks with me, he knew the library had a policy, yet he took the job anyway. I think there's something that can be learned from that. Don't put yourself in positions to violate your conscience to begin with. It's just one man's opinion. Moving on, if you need proof that climate hysteria has reached peak absurdity, look no further than the Steve Miller Band. At 81 years old, Steve Miller had scheduled 31 tour stops for 2025. Pretty impressive for his age, but he canceled the entire tour because of potential weather events. Not actual extreme weather, just the theoretical possibility of extreme heat, unpredictable flooding, tornadoes, hurricanes, and massive forest fires. All of that is quoted. Finally, the Trump administration is expanding its immigration enforcement into California's prison system, requesting data on all incarcerated illegal migrants from major countries, including Los Angeles and San Francisco. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus, or you can sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 988 AD. After examining several religions, Vladimir, Prince of Kiev, chooses Orthodox Christianity to unify and guide the Russian people. Even after a century of atheistic communist rule, Orthodoxy remains at the core of life in Eastern Europe to this day. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thank you, Greg, or should I just call you Dr. Gifford? This is Wretched Radio. Been telling you, you're missing the boat if you do not listen to Greg Gifford's Transform podcast. Well, yesterday, if you tuned into this here Wretched Radio program, you heard Dr. Gifford filling in for me and you got a little taste. You were blessed. He is really good and really biblical. and you will grow. Your emotions will continue to grow in being in alignment with reality. You'll just experience, I'm going to use the term, more human flourishing as your mind is continually renewed, as God transforms you through the application of His Word. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It is a podcast not to be missed. Did I mention he's in the top 0.5% of all podcasts worldwide?
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Libby Glosson, she's top 2.5% right now.
Wow.
All of them are like single digit top podcasts in the world. They're that good. So go look for the panoply of podcasts that we have at FortisPlus.org, or you can just visit FortisInstitute.org. You're going to see Adam Tyson there. Way of Manhood. I was going to say Walk Like a Man, which was probably the most ironic song ever. I'm singing like girls. The point is, Adam Tyson will help you to actually be the way of manhood, to walk like a man. John Kratz, Integrated. Brad Bigney, Thrive, Transformed with Greg Gifford. And of course, Biblical Manhood with Libby Gloss.
No, that's...
I'm having gender confusion. Is this what gender confusion looks like? Libby Glosson, The Better Way podcast. It is, they're all awesome, and you'll be blessed. Thank you, Greg. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Rachel. Todd, I am struggling to stay patient with my toddler who's testing me these days. I ask the Lord for help in these moments, but it seems to fall on deaf ears. Mm-hmm. I think of the verse, He is a very present help in times of trouble. What exactly does that verse mean?
That He's a very present help in times of trouble. He's near you. He's in this. Now it's up to you to sort it as best you can, because we need to build a foundation first. Is your toddler outside of God's providence? No, of course not. He's sovereign over all things. Is God good? Yes. Does God only do things for His children? Yes. I lay that foundation, and then I have the confidence in knowing this kid is exactly what I need. This kid is precisely what my divine doctor ordered, so that what? Now, this is where you perhaps need to do a little soul searching, a little heart work. You perhaps need the help of your spouse. I hope you have a relationship like that, or other people at your church, so that you can sort out what's in your heart. Because here's what I know. What your kid is doing is not causing you to be agitated. Was that the word that she used, Jimmy, that she's frustrated or agitated?
Testing her.
That she's feeling tested.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it's hard. Whatever that thing is that's coming out of you is in you. So now you got to figure out what it is that is inside of me. Is it, this is just a short laundry list of potential things that it could be. One, are you perhaps harboring an idol of calm? I need peace all the time. I don't like things to be unsettled. Could it also be an idol of control? And you're discovering, can't always control those toddlers. Could that be what's causing you to feel tested? And I'm going to assume some negative emotions that come with that, frustration, maybe agitation, maybe even anger. What is your toddler threatening? What could your toddler be taking away from you? Could it be something like you're exhausted and you want more me time? Because you perhaps, like all of us, have the idol of self. We all do. I want kind of like little Mike, my life here. All right. Now you've identified it. Then you can go in and let the Lord help you with it. Then your prayers then will become more specific. When you kind of, nothing wrong with this. So I'm not trying to be cute or to diminish the appropriateness of prayers that you just kind of cast up that fall under the banner of help me. There's nothing wrong with that. But it is, I think, more helpful to pray prayers that are more pointed. Help you with what? Now, let's say that it's an idol of self. Now, and madam, just so you know, I'm not trying to diagnose you. I'm just talking in generalities. It's an idol of self. Lord, it appears I'm kind of at the center of my universe, and I'm not as unselfish as I thought I was. Would you help me to be like your son who did not come to be served, but to serve? Would you help me take my eyes off of myself and my comforts so that I can act like your son and serve this child and lead this child to you? Would you help me with that, Lord? You got to do some heart work. Put yourself on the table, open up your heart, see what is in there, and then start praying about those issues. Start studying Bible verses about those issues. You can get some biblical counseling books about those issues. Maybe it's anger. You didn't know it, but you're angry in there. It's like, whoa, what that kid can provoke. Well, the kid, I guess you could say provoked it, but only in as much as he discovered it was there and he let the cage door open and it came flying out because it's there. Lord, I've discovered I'm angry. I want your help with this, Lord. I don't want to be an angry mom. I want to be a loving mom. I want to model you. Would you help me with that? And then you can study Jesus. How did he deal with knuckleheads? How did he deal with the religious adult toddlers that he had to stand before in his trial, that he had to teach in the marketplace when they were being totally toddler-like? How did he do it? Let me study him so I can be like him. Because I know this, you got the right kid and the Lord is in it. And the Lord will do something for you. Do heart surgery, pray specifically, study Jesus on those issues, and you will experience the fruit of sanctification, which is exactly what toddlers were designed for. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text.
Jimmy, can I toss in an encouraging word?
Sure.
That's not going to sound like an encouraging word. I think I spoke about this a number of years ago at Teach Them Diligently, still for my money, a super great homeschool conference. David Nunnery and his wife, they do a bang-up job. They try to keep homeschooling about helping your kids love Jesus more. You can't beat that. They're always worth attending, especially if you're thinking about getting into homeschooling. I spoke on the subject of... It was like Tasmanian children. When God gives you a little Tasmanian devil, it can be so, it's like, wah! But I mean, I'm talking about one who excels in naughtiness. Now, make no mistake about it. No kid has ever needed to be taught to be naughty. We're just born that way, Lady Gaga. But there are some kids, they're just terrorists. I like to put it this way. Some kids you'd like to call 555. They're not the Antichrist, but they're close. You got one of those? Here's why you got one of those. And this might slap a little bit, but it, I think, ultimately will be helpful. You got that Tasmanian devil because you needed that kid. You needed that one. Your Lord knows you. Your Lord wouldn't give you a little terrorist just to torture you. You know, he gives you that kid because you need it. There's something in your heart. It's always a heart issue. That's always the root of the issue. Out of the mouth, that's what are out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's what's going on at the heart level. And if you've got yourself a Tasmanian devil, it's because you needed that kid to expose it. I've talked to a number of parents throughout the years who either they gave birth to a Tasmanian devil or they adopted one. And those that survived and those that grew the way that God wanted to will be willing to confess to you, I didn't know that was in me. Things came out of me that I couldn't even imagine talking like that. Well, it took that kid to expose it. Why? For your good, so that you can become more like Jesus Christ. so that you can bear more fruit in keeping with repentance. It took that sort of little sinner to reveal the sin in you. Now, I know that doesn't make everything go away, but perhaps reminding yourself that it is God's goodness that has given me this kid, maybe, just maybe, will help you to consider what's in your heart, pray differently, study differently, so that you can receive the blessings of giving birth to a terrorist. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this: you're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. 6 brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at fortisplus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. 1 and 2 Kings relate the history of Israel from Solomon through the division of Israel into two kingdoms to the destruction of both kingdoms. Though Israel and Judah and their kings were often unfaithful, God continually calls his people to repentance through his prophets. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I grew up in the church. I was a youth group kid. That's where you make most of your friends when you're homeschooled. And me and my friends, we started a Christian rock band when we were 16. I don't know if you're familiar with Christian rock. Just like regular rock, but usually not as good.
Usually.
Which is why it really hurts when your Christian rock band doesn't make it. Because you're like, man, we didn't even have to be that talented. And that's when you got to call the band together for a meeting and be like, well, Malachi.
This is Wretched Radio. That too was sent to me, idea@wretched.org. When you find anything wretched, please send it. Or if you would like to use your thumbs to communicate, use your texter machine, 877-282-2337.
Right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, would love your advice on dating as a 28-year-old single woman. I've been involved in my local church for years, but it seems the only relationships I've had end in heartbreak because the guy doesn't have strong enough feelings.
Yeah.
I feel discouraged. I know God is sovereign over whether and when I get married, but I wonder how much I should put myself out there to create more opportunities to meet godly men.
Mm.
My friends and family suggest that I try dating apps, but I've always felt uncomfortable with that, fearing that I might try to control my dating life instead of trusting God to provide a husband if it's his will for me.
Mm-hmm. That is the heartache and the heart cry of so many. And it's not just women, it's men. It is, I don't fully grasp it simply because it's just a bit foreign to me. But we, the generations coming up, it is a different America. It is a different world. It's things are not the way that they once were. And dating is a big mess these days. So let me try to hit some of those high points. First of all, you're feeling disappointed. That's fine. But don't feel like it's you. You just need to know that. Now, this is not to suggest we all don't have things that we need to work on. We do. That might be an instance. I mean, I'm not thinking about this woman individually, but maybe you need to get some stuff in order if you're dating and you're finding that people are like, regularly. All right, this is an opportunity for me to grow. So find out what it is that might be causing people to not want to pursue a deeper relationship with you. That's a possibility. But in general, I would say this current culture, and it's both male and female, that you, young lady, you cannot reach the unrealistic standards that most young men have. Young man, you cannot reach the unrealistic standards that most young women have. You can't. It's because our thinking about marriage is so off kilter. It is so much a big, grotesque piece of fruit off of the tree of expressive individualism. I've got to have somebody who's as amazing as I think I am. And if anybody somehow doesn't make me feel fully affirmed, totally happy, and I get to go to every restaurant that I choose and prefer, they're toxic and I'm drawing boundaries and putting up fences. That's a rough sea to swim in. That's nasty when you're confronted with that challenge of meeting an expectation that is totally unrealistic and so unbiblical and so lacks understanding of what marriage is. So don't put that entirely on yourself. Take some time, do a little self-examine. Are there things that I can improve on? Then work on those things. If you're dating somewhat regularly and somebody's breaking up with you, well, ask them why. Just would you know what? Look, I'm not trying to lasso you back into this, but I really want to grow. Would you be honest with me and tell me what it is? Brace yourself. It's going to hurt no matter what they say. It's going to sting a bit. And it could be wrong, could be right, but you'll never know and you'll never grow unless you ask. But it's simultaneously be encouraged. You're not a deformity. The system is twisted. As far as the apps go and trusting God, you can do both. Let me put it this way. Okay, so however it is that you currently are meeting individuals that could be potential spouses, I could say the exact same thing. You're not trusting God. You go to church and you're thinking you might meet something. Nope, you're not trusting God. And you go, well, no, I'm just going to church and I'm thinking that could be a play. Same thing with apps. Now, use good ones and know this. I've heard this too much. Just because some guy says he's a Christian doesn't mean he is. That shouldn't shock any of us. Nevertheless, you want to dig and drill on that. Tell me your conversion story. I just met a couple at church. And he said, met her and asked her her conversion story. And it was rock solid. And I knew, hey, the biggest box is checked. And now they're dating. Where it will go, I don't know. We'll see where it ends up. But the point is, before he passed go, before he started dating, he wanted to make sure that this woman was genuinely converted. And you want to do that too. I don't care which gender you are. Make sure they're saved. Ask questions. And a genuine Christian who's seriously looking for a godly spouse, there are so many cultural evangelicals who would say, yeah, I'm looking for a spouse. And then they meet somebody who's like really born again. Who's like, hey, so aren't we going to pray together? Oh, man, what? Oh. And all of a sudden it gets revealed that it's just a veneer of Christianity that's there. A genuine Christian, if asked, could you prove to me you're saved? Is not, somebody who's mature is not going to go, oh, I'm out, swipe. They're going to go, oh, you're serious. You're like, because I'm serious. And I can see that you're serious. And you don't want to date me unless you know I'm safe. That's exactly how I feel. Let's work on this together. You want to make sure that they're saved. So use the apps. Be wise. Be careful. You got to guard your heart with the app machines because they will affect you. You don't get many, whatever they call it, interests or people contact you. That can make you feel kind of crummy. That can make you feel a little bit like, well, I would personally, if I were doing it, Jesus would be front and center on my profile. And that way, when I don't get any likes or anybody reaches out to however that works to connect people, I'm going to go, okay, I get it. People aren't that serious about the Lord, so I'm good. I'm not going to be offended or hurt by that. Guard your heart. Make sure that you don't feel defeated by it. Trust the Lord in it. He runs apps too. And so let him control and dictate it. Trust him with what he provides or doesn't provide. And don't be discouraged that the weird system that you're in is hard these days. That just isn't you. Jimmy, you got anything else for this young lady?
Yeah, I was just going to speak to the app thing and her comment about feeling like it was controlling instead of controlling her own life instead of letting God provide her a husband if it was his will. I'd say it like this. Using a dating app is not stepping on God's will any more than using Indeed to find a job.
Sure.
It's the same thing. It's not the app that's inherently sinful. It's your posture as you use it.
No, I affirm that completely. And I would even add, without trying to sound too cutesy here, but remember the story of the man, the flood, and he's on top of the roof and he's praying, Lord, send somebody to save me. You know, save me. Come and save me. A guy comes by in a boat. Hey, get in the boat. No, I'm waiting on the Lord. Okay, get in the boat. If the dating culture now involves apps, then get in the app world. I understand why you feel a bit reticent about it, but I don't think that reticence should be generated from feeling like you are somehow getting in the way of the will of God or that you're playing God in your dating. Don't you worry. Even as you use the app, you can be assured you're just going to want to enter into it faithfully and obediently and humbly. Although somebody just sent me a text, I'm not going to use Tom Hammond's name. He used the word humbleness. That can't be humbleness.
That's the country version.
Ah, that explains everything.
Tom Hammond.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, should a person be appointed?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, we didn't have much time, so I thought I...
Should a person be appointed an elder if their kids do not behave at church?
No. Not yet. It wouldn't be a permanent disqualifier. And let's make sure that we understand that maybe there's a bar. Every kid's going to squawk. Every kid's going to, even the PK, the pastor's kid is going to sin. They do that, you know. It doesn't mean that the pastor isn't qualified. But if there's a man that you're considering to be an elder whose family and kids are out of control, it's a sign that if he can't have his family under control, then he has no ability to lead in any capacity in the church. It's a lesser to greater argument. If you can't do it at home, you can't do it at church. So be careful. Just because a kid squawks on occasion, we're talking about that Tasmanian devil kid. And maybe there's even an explanation for that, so you need to be thoughtful and considerate. Proceed with caution, but an elder should have his family under control. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.